Amen. Thank you, Ms. Clark. What a blessing. Amen. It's a brand new year, folks. Amen. Take your Bibles for the first time this year in this service. For some of you, the second time today. Right? It may seem like that. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Now, for those of you that were here last night, I'm not doing this because Brother Perkins read this. That's a little bit of an inside joke, but I do pray that tonight, this morning, that it'd be a blessing, and I do. I hope you'll come back tonight. I want to be able to give a little bit. I'm going to preach on vision this morning, but I want to give some vision for our ministry, and then we'll preach a little bit. But I will pray that you go back if you're a member of our church and that weren't able to be here last night. Maybe you watched, and so you already heard it. But take time to get back. And Brother Doug, I'd like to actually strip the message out of last night and put it on the radio sometime this week if we can. And we'll find a time to do that and try to let you know about it. But I preached to the theme, trusting in thee, last night. And so if you weren't able to make it or even be able to watch, you were somewhere, I pray that you'll go back and do that. I do know this, that for each one of us, it was just a message on refreshing for the new year. And every one of us need that. I don't know if looking back at 2022, that 2022 was a year that you just made great gains financially, whether you had a great year, you had a okay year, or whether but no matter what the year was, if we go back and really focus in on our walk with God and who we are spiritually, and measure things that way. Measure a year, take a hard look at measuring the year and trusting in the Lord with all my heart. And then measure up some things. And the scripture is so powerful. If you know, for me, I've read that scripture over and over again in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5. But to see how God just breaks it down and allows us to have several steps to draw closer to himself in an inward way, in an outward way, and then even the way we honor him with the first fruits of our giving. And so I pray that you'll go back and listen to that and just take that to heart this year and let it be a theme for your life on a daily basis. And because days build up and be in their years. And if you're going to walk with God, you don't walk God this year with him. You walk day by day with him and you'll see him. But I've learned this in this Christian life that, you know, vision isn't sight. Because in 2 Corinthians it says we don't walk by sight, do we? We walk by faith and not by sight. So true vision isn't about what I see in front of me or what I can see coming. It's about something else. And so today I want to preach a message on vision for the future. Vision for the future. Now, this won't be laying out all about where we are headed as a ministry, because if we know the Bible, we already know where we're headed for the ministry. We're headed for heaven. We're looking for the upper taker to come back and take us out of this place. But until he comes, he laid out marching orders. And so for us, we know the job and what the job to do, but we want to know, how do I do it today in 2023? God, how do I do it better than I did last year? God, who do you want me to go to and reach? And that is true vision. And so today, if you would, bow your heads with me before we begin and read the scripture. We'll pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Dear God, as we come to you this morning, Lord, I ask you again as just simply your messenger boy, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would do the work that I cannot do. Your word is perfect. And Holy Spirit of God, you can take it and use your word, not my words, but your words to work on the hearts of people to help us get a vision of what you want to be done in the future. Lord, I pray that you'd help me as your messenger boy to deliver just exactly what you want me. Help me to say exactly what you want me to say. Lord, help us this year to get a vision for the future that will help us, God, to be faithful and to stand for you until you come. In Jesus' name, amen. In Proverbs 29, in verse number 15, it may seem funny, but a lot of times we read a single verse and we won't realize the context. So for context of where we're headed in a very familiar passage on vision, we'll read the preceding verses for it, okay? All right, Proverbs, verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son. It doesn't sound like a suggestion. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at length. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. A lot of times in the Proverbs, we think they're all individually and separated out and that they have no consistency. But when we take in, you know, we've been through a long study, if you were here on Wednesday nights, and realized that the book of Proverbs, it's a whole. It's a letter from a father to a son under the inspiration of God. And he, the king who is Solomon, the wisest man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ to ever walk planet earth, is set down. And then the Holy Spirit uses him to pen down scripture from a father to a son to instill wisdom. And more than that, if I could say it this way, to instill vision for the future. You see, everything that he wrote in the book of Proverbs was, son, I want you to reign. I want you to reign for God's glory. I want you to reign and I want you to be a king. I want you to be a better king than I was. How many of us don't want that for our children? I want to be a good father, but I want my children to be better father than I was. I want my children to have more than I've ever had, not because they need to be plenteous, but because they follow God's word and they watch God bless their life. As families, as church members, even for those of us that don't have a child that we can call our own, the Bible even says, as a servant, do you know that even the young lady that sang this morning, I have a unique tie to her because she was in my youth group. And when she sings, listen, it's different than when other people sing. Because I'm clipping coupons, man. I invested and invested in this, and the song comes forth. And I know where that song came from. Not just from today, but from the past. From investment. Hey, I want you to know this morning that as we see vision for the future, it's very clear that children are the future of any ministry. And if you want to know, sometimes when a ministry goes awry, it's because we had no vision. And the sad fact of this, the more we study and understand vision, we didn't have the vision to do the hard thing the day we needed to do it for the future. You know, see, we think vision is all about a plan for the future and somebody having vision enough to have gusto and make a plan. That's such a small part of what we equal it that way. Or we think vision, somebody lost their glasses last night. We think vision is 20/20. And the only thing I've learned about this life is hindsight is 20/20 of how I should have done it. After it's done and over with. And then if I really want to get down, I check the bifocals down. And I can really look into how I should have done it. I see where I went wrong here, here, and here, right? Do you know the Bible is a book of vision? Visions were given to all kinds of men. The book itself is inspired by God. It is a book to teach us how to live and work, teach, correct, reprove, rebuke, everything that we're supposed to do on a daily basis so that the outcome of the future depends on what I do with the word of God today. It depends on how I correct my child today. It depends on how I decide to live today. And even once I know what to do right, I have to put it into practice on a daily basis in my life. It's what the future will hold what I do today. You can't expect to have millions of dollars in the bank if you don't put something in today. I'm going to gain all this. This stock is going to explode, right? You got to buy it. Otherwise, it's exploding for somebody else. And we miss sometimes those things. You say vision. Somebody had vision to buy it low and to hold on till it went high. And this book is a book of truth. And when we look around at our nation, this is a book that marked the future of any nation or any people when they don't correct their children. When you let your children, it only takes a spark. You know, we have been taught all our lives that every child has this beautiful little spark inside of goodness. Okay? I have, and maybe you want to say that's only your children, preacher. But I realized that I had to tell them about the light, and the light had to be put in them. The light wasn't there to start with. What was there and what they got from me wasn't light. I had to give them the light once they were born. The natural man that they were didn't have light. The natural man, I didn't teach any of my kids to lie, but every one of them lie. Nobody taught them unless it was one of them other kids from the church. Right? I mean, and that's how we think about it, right? But I reckon things real, and I realize that my kids naturally didn't have to be taught to lie. That came natural to them. Because that's the natural man. But vision for the future is correction. You know the way I can teach them to tell the truth? Is correct them. That's wrong. You don't lie. That lie is going to catch up with you. You know, I'd rather catch up with my kids and deal with it the way the Bible says, then to let the lies continue to grow until they catch up with them. Because the spanking that it'll give them in this life is much worse than the one I could give. Mine will be given in love. When it catches up out there, the world won't love them. You say, preacher, I don't know. Look at the scripture with me this morning. Why have vision for the future? I think about this. Too many times we focus on it's all about sight. It's all about what I can see. Even when we gave the report last night on the finances, folks, the way God did it last year and paid all the bills ain't the way he did it this year. Last year, the money was up and the bills were down and everything's good, right? This year, the bills were up, the money was down, but God still paid it all and took care of it. You say, how in the world did he do that? Because he's God. He brought it in areas that we didn't think and just took care of it. And that is the God that we serve. And if we're silly enough to think that we can plan it out and God's always going to do it my way, then his ways are higher than my ways. His paths are better than my paths. I don't want to walk my path. I want to walk his path. I don't want to be in my way. I want to be in his way. So that's vision. Do you realize even when we're talking about Sunday school and teaching kids from Genesis, I can't have, think about vision, even the way we measure vision. I don't like going to the optometrist. I don't like going there. And that's just a big word for the eye doctor, right? I don't like going there. Have they ever not given you a new pair of glasses? If your eyes get worse, they give them to you. If your eyes got better, which is very unlikely, but if it did, they still want to give you another pair to go the other way. So what do? You must be like me. You just don't go until you break them or lose them, right? Till you got to have. Anyway, I'm not recommending that. That's not my counsel. But what do? We go sit in there. And I thought about this today. I thought about sitting in that chair looking at that chart. Do you know there's a difference between my sight that they're trying to measure and vision? Because somebody else taught me what A meant and B, C, and Z. And the things they're asking me to name off that whether I can see them or not, that was taught to me by somebody else. And the vision that they're asking me to equate Now, you may not put two and two together, but do you realize for a little kid how hard it is for them to give them glasses? Because they don't realize, they don't know what them letters mean. And how in the world can the optometrist tell whether they can see it or not? Because they don't know what A through Z is. We don't realize that true vision is, I can tell what's on there when I can see it. But vision isn't sight. Do you know most of the world has gotten corrupt vision because they've been taught that the world just happened with a bang instead of God creating it all? That he spoke it all into existence, and to have a true vision of everything that's going on and what will happen in the future, I need to know what happened in the past. And think about how powerful the Word of God is to give us vision, that even in the past, he told me what happened when nobody was there to see it. When nobody was there to pen it down, but God was. God knows what he did. He knew how he spoke it into existence. And think about all the things and how technical he could have got about how everything. Think about how boring Genesis would be if God began to explain to you how every atom attached itself to another atom. But God gave us exactly what he wanted us to read. How he brought it all into existence. Now, there may be some geeky nerd in here today that would like for God to explain it atom by atom and how everything went, but that ain't my kind of reading. And God didn't just write the book for you, he wrote the book for me too. And he gave us exactly what we needed. And you know why I needed where I came from? Because he wanted to tell me where I was going. And you can't have good vision unless you get in a platform and a place and see what's coming. And not just see it, but I can't see heaven, but I can tell you what it looks like because he wrote it in his book. I couldn't even see my way going there, but then he sent his son to die on Calvary for me. Hey, folks, when we get some vision from the past, we get a good standing point to see what God is trying to do in my life and in your life and in the church. Man, I can get a vision of the future. All of a sudden, not with 20/20 vision, but supernatural eyes. This is the definition of vision in the 1828 dictionary. It says, in Scripture. See, that means there's about five or six of those jokers, but then they tried to say, this is what the Bible means when it says vision. A revelation from God, an appearance or an exhibition of something supernatural presented to the minds of the prophets by which we were informed of future events. Do you know that vision also goes in the past, not just the future events? Mr. Webster missed one because at Genesis, nobody saw it, but God gave it to the prophets backwards. He's given it future. There's a couple times for Jeremiah and others, right? After he gave vision of the future, they burned it in the fire, so he just gave it again. And the next time, he added a couple more words to it. Let me tell you a little bit more about it. So everybody that wants to put God in a box and say, this is how God does it, you better check yourself. Because God's not going to be bound by your little box of your thoughts and your minds. This inspired word of God is something we take by faith that God did it. Amen. And let me tell you this. How's God going to keep in the future? Because I'm not going to do it. You're not going to do it. He said he was going to preserve it. So how does it stay? God keeps doing it. God did it. He's still doing it. So how does an inspired Bible make it all the way into, you can't see that without having vision. You try to put all the building blocks of mechanical dictation. I don't trust a man to copy every word unless God's watching him. I don't trust that this book is the very words of God when it goes from one language to another unless God has his handprints all over it. Because God is the one that said he'd preserve his word. God would prove it out. God would bless it. God would use it. You say, how do you know the King James Bible is word perfect, every dot, dash, every mark? Well, what other version of the Bible has God used? That's right. What version went out on all our tracks and all the witnessing and everything that happened? That we gave the record last night, almost 1,100 souls came to Christ right here in the Haines City area between soul winning, 276 folks walked the aisle and got saved. Say, how did that many people get saved in a place? Because God gave us his word. And he gave us a mission. And we've just been about his business. Had vision enough to see what he's done in the past, what he's doing in the future, and what he'll do today if I let him do it through me. with the book that he's preserved and kept for me till today. Now I better preach to you. This is where I always get, down to 10 minutes. Now I'm going to preach, give you some points, right? You thought something was going to change in the new year? Amen? Amen? Look at the scripture with me. I just want you to see it. And I want you to see that I see it too. Amen? Even though they gave me a brand new clock up there to watch me. Look at verse number 18. See, he tells us all about this correct and correct thy son. And we see all that. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that, look at this, keepeth the law, happy is he. That means just keeping the word of God, keeping the vision that God has given us of what we, if we do this, God will bless us. If we do this, God will save us. If we do this, God will come through every time. For those of us, if we just realize and understand that vision keeps us happy. Do you know the problem with us as Christians is we believe the lie of the world and we think, we see through their eyes, if I just get that vehicle, I'll be happy. If I could get that boat, that would make me happy. For most of us guys, we can identify with this. If I had that gun, I'd be happy. Right? If I could fish 3 days a week. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Golf. Anyway, so ladies, I don't know what it is. If I could just bake. No, I don't know. Anyway, so whatever it is that you would say, if I could just do that, if I could just have this purse, I've never desired a purse, but if I had that one, right, it would make me happy. No, things have never made anybody happy past a few days, past a few minutes, past a few, not even a year. Folks, every one of us could conclude and agree that one thing that we did, it don't take with a brand new vehicle, it don't take until you pay the first payment. Not to be as happy as you once were. Even though it drives the same, it looks the same, everything's the same. But I paid the payment on it. Changes our perspective, doesn't it? But you know, the vision, when we keep the word of God and we watch God bless us because we did something. We watch God bless our children. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I have the pleasure of being able to stand here to tell you that I practice what the Bible preached with my children. And when my children did wrong, now there's some that I spared and had mercy. But I can tell you there are times at when the adult-sized children, my children, that I deal with them now, they'd be a lot harder to spank if I tried to start today. They might want to turn around and try to lick me. But you know what? All the correction that they've had now, it doesn't come to, let's come to blows, Dad. It's, they have vision. You're right. That's what the Bible says. That's right. All right, Dad, thanks for reminding me about that. You know, you get to a place where it's not control. It's just reminding them of the truth that you taught them all their life. The reproof you gave in the past, now instead of reproof coming from a switch or a paddle, it's loving Dad saying, listen, and I know this. Sometimes it don't feel like love when we do what the Bible says. But the generation that is, look, the Bible says, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases. That follows the verse, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. You want to know why the world has exploded with wickedness? That even unsaved families that knew this Bible truth that would spank their kids and correct them, now we have no morality. Because the world sure isn't following this practice, and half of the Christians, if not three quarters of them, refuse to do the Bible thing and correct their kids. And folks, sometime they're going to have to be corrected. Somebody's going to stop them and tell them, you will obey the law. And boy, what it will be like, boy, as a parent in adulthood, it's so much better to be happy that I did what God told me to do when they were a child. And now my children obey his word. Because, you know, I would rather line up. I would rather, you know, what a reinforcement it is that Dad's law is God's law. And when they obey God, they're obeying me too. What an idea that is. That when they obey me, they're lining up right with the book all the time. They're not, and when they rebel, they're not just rebelling against me. They're rebelling against God. He says this, and I want you to jump down for time's sake. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. And man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. You see, he even starts this in verse number, he talks about the servant, and he will become a son. And again, that's practicing with folks that are not just born into my house, but people that I'm going to meet on a daily basis. Young people I'll influence on bus and in Sunday school and all these different areas. I invest and I invest and I invest. And then, seest thou a man that is hasty with his words? How am I going to treat those around me? I don't want people that I'm serving with or serving for me to be hasty with my words and to lose my patience with them. I want them to grow in grace, not and be hasty, but think about what's about to be said and give them the word of God. Give them what God, the Holy Spirit inside of me, helps me give them the words of correction that they need. Not hasty man's words, but words from correction and what God wants me to do. See, it's still teaching them the book and to obey God, even if they're not my children. All the other children God lets me be a part of, I ought to give them Bible. And so when they obey the Bible, they are obeying me and God. You say, preacher, it's too simple. Yeah, but you know what it has to be? Sometimes when I feel like I'm on the right spot and I'm standing on the rock and I've got every right to bow up in pride and say, I told you! Or to stand in my highfalutin place and stand down and be condescending to someone else, maybe I ought to check myself and humble me. Because you know, one day, those that get high and lifted up, the Bible says, shall be abased. And I sure have learned through this life that I would rather humble me than let God do it. Because I don't take me near as low as God will. Say, what are you talking about, preacher? He says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Well, instead of telling everybody what they're doing wrong, how about trying to tell what God does right? Do you know it sounds a whole lot better and humbler when I tell them, instead I say, boy, if you just did this, this, and this, you could get it right. We don't know where they're at. We don't know whether they're ready. But boy, if I just said, let me tell you how good God is. I was in the same situation you were when I was 22 years old. And I just humbled myself before a holy God. And that God blessed me. He changed me. He healed me. He gave me a family that I don't deserve. He put me in a church that's not like any other church. God loves me and has blessed me. You say, how's that humble you? I just had to tell somebody. I would rather let them think that I've always been perfect. They ain't thinking that. But that's what we think sometimes, don't we? I don't want to tell them how low God had to take me. But boy, it's so good. You know, when you humble yourself before men sometimes and just say, God's been good to me, a sinner. And if you would give your life to him, he'll love you just like he loved me. He'll honor you if you honor him. Hey, folks, vision for the future not only keeps a man happy, but it keeps him humble. What a year it would be as Christians, rather than letting God humble us through getting away from him, humbling ourselves and watch people come to God because we stay humble. We stay at a place where just our humble testimony of God's goodness and grace was a testimony to the world of his great salvation. Rather than walking through this life going, ah, you didn't go to church today. Yeah, you didn't do this. You didn't do that. You didn't. Listen, I'm not keeping the score. God is. And if I give an opportunity with the button, right? I don't tell them, you're not trusting. I tell them I trusted. And I can tell them all the goodness, and I honor God who's done it. And they can do what they want. You know, not just will vision keep us happy and humble, but it'll keep us holy. I want you to see this. It says, whoso, in verse 24, whoso is a partner with the thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Do you know that the man that feareth, that the fear of man, do you know sometimes we spend more time, rather than trying to please God with our life, we try to please the man that God's given us around us. A friend that we look up to. somebody else. Listen, they ain't the measuring stick. Jesus is. And I guarantee you, you can try. Listen, men, I said it last night, I'll say it again. Men are men at best. And even when they do right, we can look at them. But if you get your eyes too fixed on any man other than Jesus, the God-man, you're in trouble. Because your vision is going to be skewed. That man that you focus in on, listen, it's so much better to get in this book and see a man that's never sinned. To see a man that had perfect love. To see a man that did it right every time. And to keep your focus on him, because that will keep you holy. Amen. You won't measure yourself by somebody else and say, I've reached, I've attained, I've made it. That's enough. I can quit now. No. I press on and I press on. You see, vision gives us the sight. When I see somebody else, I don't see. When I got vision, folks, all of a sudden, it affected my eye. Began when I had true vision, my eye, the actual sight that I had affected my heart. See, when you get like Jesus, you look out at the field and you're not just hungry, you're hungry for God's will. And when you look out on the field and he shows up, he says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He says, look at the fields, they're white under harvest. How could I stop and eat at a time like this when men are dying and going to hell? You see, the rest of the world doesn't reckon things the way we do. They don't know the book and they can't go to Luke chapter 16 and realize that the place called hell is a real place. You see, people, they go to college and they get taught that there's a Hades, a place that they could either be prayed out of or go in and out of, but that ain't the place that God created. Hell is a place of fire. Hell, if you really want to get down and realize the bare bones of it, it's a holding cell for a place much worse. A place of fire that'll be thrown into a place of fire. Hell is something that when we realize truly from the scripture and we see that, we wouldn't want our worst enemy to spend a day in that place. And we would change who we are to be able to share with others so they don't have to go there. You see, we don't deserve to go. How easy is it to tell somebody else? It isn't because of my goodness. Isn't it because I go to church? It isn't because of this, this, and this. It's because Jesus died on Calvary and paid for my sin debt. Amen. And all of a sudden, the burden that I have, for most people, they need to see through your words and your understanding the hell that they're headed to. Because all they know is what they've been taught. And it's not vision of a true place. They've been told a lie. But the blessing of this life is when you see someone see hell like you see it, and the burden you have for their soul that they don't have for themselves, and to watch that person react the way that you reacted and receive Jesus Christ. The Christian life, the vision for the future. You say, preacher, what? Listen, the vision for the future is the same vision God gave us all the time. It's the Great Commission. It's the ones I can tell and the ones that the missionaries can tell. Folks, you know that the, listen, the overall goal for it, 500,000. Last night I got to tell the church that we made it to $542,000. And folks, that ain't, my pockets aren't bulging this morning. But the gospel is bulging this morning. There's money to go around the world and to keep tracts and to keep Bibles and to keep the truth. And that shows as a church that we have a vision for the future. I don't want to do anything but increase my vision for Jesus Christ. I don't want to give back. I don't want to go back. I want to go forward for that. I want my vision to increase. I want people to react by calling upon Jesus' name. I want people to react by following God in the Great Commission and being baptized into his church. I want to see people react and give themselves to be discipled, to be soul winning, saved, baptized additions to the Lord's church. Say, preacher, what do you want to see this morning? Well, I had a vision of the future. I want to see people react. If you're here today and you came into this place and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you got a vision of hell. Hell is a place of fire. And listen, every one of the people in this room will spend eternity in either heaven or in hell. And they won't do it because they won't spend this. Listen, you'll spend every day in hell because of your sin. But if you decide on heaven, you'll react to the gospel of Jesus Christ, his finished work of Calvary, and you will spend every day in heaven, not because of what you did, but because of what he did. And putting your faith and trust in him. Well, wouldn't it be great today if somebody reacted in this new year and said, you know what, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized. Today's the day I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to follow God in his first request of me as a Christian. In obedience, I'm going to follow his command of baptism. Wouldn't it be a great thing if somebody decided, you know what, 2023, I'm going to get some vision. I'm going to be discipled. I'm going to grow in God's word. Do you know going to church is just, it's a part of discipleship. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that's part of discipleship. Growing. Sunday morning, we preach the gospel. Wednesday night, we teach the Bible. Sunday night, we try to pump up and get inspired to go through another week telling people about Jesus. You say, what do you do the rest of the week? We go soul winning. We run buses. You say, it sounds like you got something to do around here every day. I didn't even mention that we teach kids on a daily basis over here. You see, there's plenty of vision to keep us busy. But the problem is, I feel like our vision isn't big enough. The world still needs to come to Christ. 1,100 people in Haines City, more than that moved into this joint just in a week. And they all need to hear about the Savior. You say, preacher, you're not happy with that number? I'll be happy when God's happy, because when the last one gets saved, he'll call me home. But I won't be happy till then that we've reached the ones that he wants us to reach. This morning, if you're here, I pray you'll do this. You'll react the way the Holy Spirit reached into your heart. I hope you got a vision. If you got a vision of what God wants you to do, then act on it. React the way you ought to. React by calling upon his name. React by being baptized. React by getting discipled or furthering yourself in the study of God's word. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, as musicians come, if you're here this morning you don't know for sure if you're on your way to heaven, would you just slip your hand up while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and say, pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm saved. Just lift your hand, one anywhere that I might be able to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I don't see any hands. But I'm going to pray this morning for folks to do what God asked them to do. If you'd stand to your feet as I pray this morning. Dear Lord, I beg you that you'll help folks do. If there's somebody that needs to be saved, God, I pray you'd save them this morning. Help them to react and walk the aisle to this old-fashioned altar and receive Jesus Christ. If they need to be baptized, help them to follow you in believer's baptism. God, I pray if people need to grow in the Lord's word, I pray you'd help them to do that this year. We ask it all in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you'd come, as Brother Burt sings.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
With us this morning. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the invitation is to you. And you may have never been in one of these before, but this is an old-fashioned invitation. And we're inviting you to step out and walk down an old-fashioned aisle, and I'll meet you right here in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Well, I pray you'll do that this morning. If you're here and you need to join this church through baptism, maybe you just need to be obedient to God's command and be baptized this morning. If God's calling for you to do that, you do what He asks you to do, as Brother Burt sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am. Sight rich is healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
This morning some have come, and if you would, right where you're at, this brand new year, sometimes we do a lot of complaining about our country and about our president, about the gas prices. Why don't we determine this year to do something about it? You say, what can we do to change that, preacher? Pray. You know, the Bible, this morning I finished up the book of Colossians, and the book of Colossians says, continue in prayer. And right after that, it tells us to watch in prayer. You know, a watch is like a watchman on the wall. Keep them watch for things. There's some things that, well, we are good to complain about. Instead of complaining, why don't we just raise those things up to God this year? Why don't we determine that this year we're going to be prayer warriors for our country, for our town, for our government, our president, even whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, they're in office, they're going to get prayed for. They're going to get begged for. Say, boy, listen, if you want to know how the preacher thinks we can change things, it's going to happen through prayer. We have no power to change it, but there's one in heaven that does. This morning, maybe God's spoken to your heart about that, just making a New Year's resolution. A lot of us, you know, as we age, our opportunities to serve God change. And one of the things that every one of us can do is lift up people's names in prayer. This morning, as Brother Burt sings, why don't you pray right where you are and just pray and talk to God. Maybe God brought something to your heart and mind that you need to make a decision and make a commitment to Him about. You don't have to walk the aisle to do it. You can do it right where you are and say, God, I want you to help me do this year. As Brother Burt sings, you do that as folks have come.
Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen. I'm not sure if we have anything to share with you this morning. We'll let you be seated really quick. I just wanted to go through and kind of give you some of those things, and I'll kind of do it from memory. For those of you who weren't here last night, maybe didn't get to watch it, the church, we had 276. I mentioned that in the preaching, but you may thought I manufactured that number, but that is the number of people walked the aisle. And 1,098 people through all the different ministries. That's the school, the soul winning, and all that. And the best we could measure it together. And then the testimony Brother Donahue gave of those that were saved in a ministry we have over in Burma, that takes us way over that 1,100 number. But right here in town, just wanted to make sure you knew. We gave you the number for missions. And then, you know, next week when you come in, that thing's going to be back to zero. And so today we have victory. Right? That don't mean it's, when you see it back at zero, doesn't mean that's what the account is at. Right? But what when we make a faith promise, what do? We start a brand new year and start filling it back up. Let the Lord give through us and watch that gauge go back up and do it all over again for His glory. Amen? And so again, we want to just remind you of those things. 276 saved in church, 41 baptized, 48 moved their membership here this year. And so had some real blessings. We had 2 give their lives to missions, 2 surrender to full-time Christian work, and we had 1 rededicate their life. Amen. Do we have anything to... Well, we'll speak with these folks. I know they've come this morning wanting to join the church, so we'll talk with them and just make sure of everything. I think, as Ms. Congdon said, we just need to speak with them. So let's stand to our feet, and we'll have a conversation with them. And, boy, we don't turn folks away, amen? We'll just check everything out and make sure we're right. Thank you so much for being here today. If you're visiting with us, thank you. I know some folks from Vermont were visiting by video. They're pretty much the whole church was sick, and they were tuned into our station this morning, and so we are glad to have them as well. We're going to close in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Congdon. Brother Congdon, if you come and close us out. I do appreciate Brother Congdon and all the men that work in our buses, and they've been faithful even through this holiday season. And you say, well, the numbers aren't up. That's a pretty good number for where we've been at. Amen, to have kids come in our buses. So
let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the truth of the message this morning. So fitting as we start a new year, Father, to have a message on vision. And Father, I thank you for the way it was explained this morning. Help us to see the individual vision that you would have us to have as a church member here. And Father, just thank you again for our pastor and the preaching this morning. Thank you for visitors that have come this morning. Thank you for these that have come forward this morning. May, Father, they be dealt with in the right way. And Father, just thank you again for this time in your house this morning. And pray for decisions even now that have not been made, that need to be made, Lord, that you'll continue to work and speak at hearts. Thank you again now for the afternoon before us. Give us the time of rest we need, and look forward to coming back into your house tonight and hearing the preaching again and the singing and being a time of worship for you. And we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.